what does God say that good means? If you're going to find the true meaning of anything that's written in the covenants, you're going to have to look in Hebrew, for the old covenant, and in the new covenant, you'll have to look for Greek and Aramaic to find out what's really being said. And what I've discovered when I'm exegeting the word is in the new covenant, you can actually take the Greek or the Aramaic and kind of venture back and sort of translate or transliterate back almost to the Hebrew. And there are actually books that do that. There, I have a Bible that will take the New Testament and even bring out Hebrew as they layered back. It's pretty cool. It's called an exegesis Bible, actually. It exegetes. Okay, so we're looking at true meaning, and so this is real easy for you all because you've been around here for a while. Hebrew, good, is tov. T-O-V, and then you can look it up. It may say T-O-B-E. And that's real close to Toby. So we say, what we say about good is we say that if it's good, it can't get any better, which is really a very good translation. It's the best that it could be, and that's true. Whatever God created or whatever he called good is the best it can be. But if we're going to go even deeper on this, and I mentioned this to you about a week ago or so, that tov means something that fulfills the purpose for which it was created. So then and I talked to you about seed. Remember, I was talking to you about seed, that every plant has seed in it, and so it's a seed-bearing plant, meaning that it will cause life to continue. So what we're looking at is cycles here. We're looking at, if something's good, it doesn't end. That's why mamas and daddies work. That's why men and women work good together, because they can produce life and it continues. So that's why God created things the way he did. Amen. Now, so something that fulfills the purpose for which it was created. So if a fig tree produces fruit in its season, we would say it's tov. It's good. If a dog is loyal and he obeys, he's a good dog, right? If your life on earth fulfills what you were called to do, you had a good life. Listen now, it wasn't a good life because you got your way. It wasn't a good life because you went where you wanted to go and you did what you wanted to do. That doesn't make a good life. A good life is if you answer the call and fulfilled your destiny in God. That's the just man made perfect in the scripture that's talked about over in Hebrews. That's the apostle Paul said that he was going to go after the mark of the high calling. Remember that? And he said, not that I've gotten there, but this is what I'm striving for. I'm going to go after and become who I was called to be. And so if you're going to have a good life, you're going to answer your call. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so that would be a good life. So fulfillment is good, but to fulfill the plan is good, or gooder. Amen. So hopefully your passion in life is involved in fulfilling God's plan. So, and hopefully all that you've acquired in life will help fulfill God's plan. A lot of people go down the wrong trail and they never realize that there is a God plan. They're just like, well, this is who I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to be. But there actually is a plan that God set forth. And you might get older and then find your plan. It may take you a little while to find your plan. I didn't go into the ministry in my 20s, barely in my 30s. I was getting up there before I really answered a call that I knew was on my life. But when I did, I started getting into the good part. Yeah. Amen. Never regretted that. So, let's just kind of work around this for a minute. Let's just say that, your life was in real estate. We have realtors in our church. And I really get this. It's really easy to see if you'll look at this. Let's say that you're in real estate. Let's say that you've been doing that But there are people who are actually in real estate not realizing the benefits that it brings to the kingdom. Walk with me. Or then maybe you do. Maybe you do. But let's talk about that for a moment, and we'll actually see what I mean by that. See, if you sell something, you could just say, I just made $60,000 off that thing. I did good. I think that'd be good. That's good. I made some money off that thing. Well, that would be all right. But if it's really going to be good, in the true sense of the word good, then you sold that person the house they would be happy in, that they could continue and produce life in. It would be good. So you weren't just looking to sell something to somebody. You were looking for that person to have the best they could have. Right? Am I right? Yeah. So that's a good job. That's a good career. When you're looking, and we do have some realtors that actually told me that they're not here tonight, but they may be listening, who said, you know, we don't just put somebody anywhere. We want them to be in their home or whatever it may be the case. And I just loved that. It made me think a lot about that. So when you sell something then, or you service something, is integrity involved? Because I think integrity would be involved in something that was tov, something that was good. Would you agree? A worshiper leading worship who's really worshiping, like our people, they would be good worshipers. They're not just leading the song and trying to look good. They care. They care to do it. And they care to do it the way that it was brought in to do. I noticed something about you tonight. You're playing with the brushes. And that wasn't even your idea. My suggestion was tell Gabe and Art to play and ask Art to play brushes. So he just didn't decide to do something he wanted to do. He did what I asked him to do. That's good. He fulfilled the purpose of what I felt the Holy Spirit was calling us to do. And he's like that. He does that quite often. He doesn't have to make it about him. Well, I think I should have. No, he just did what we set up to do. And I'm very grateful for that. So a worker who works to get a quality job done instead of just a paycheck would be good. Amen. It would be tov. Yes. Because I don't know if you know this, but there are people who only work because they're getting a paycheck. They don't care about what they're doing. They don't care about what they're producing or what they're producing for their boss. They just want a paycheck. It's the only reason they do it. They don't think about what I'm talking to you about, that this would produce and reproduce life, that it would bring life to someone. Are you with me? Yep. Just trying to use examples to get this over to you. So a prayer who prays to produce fruit and not just to be heard, be a good prayer. Amen. Seed embedded in creation is good. You're putting seed into something if you're bringing life to it and making it progress, making this go on, so to speak. Are y'all here? Yeah. I may be redundant a little bit, but you'll get this. So good is anything that produces life and contains the potential for more life within it. Okay. So a realtor just doesn't make money. They put someone in the home that fulfills their destiny, and then it produces life. Now, if you were asked to clean something, you could get a wet rag. Let's just get real down to earth here. Can you go over there and you can clean something? We have people in here with cleaning businesses and stuff, and we have people that clean the church and stuff. You could just get a wet rag. That's what Mama would say. And you could go over there and just wipe it so you could say you worked on it. Right? Or you could actually get the dirt up. That would be good. Now that sounds real simple, but I want you to know there's a whole world out there just wiping with a wet rag. They're just on the clock, and so while they're on the clock, they're just gonna, yeah. Or they're gonna get down on their hands and knees and get the job done and scrub and really get the dirt off. This is important. So if I hire you and you just move around until the clock strikes time to go, you were just there to get paid, didn't care about the fulfillment of the projects, that would not be good. It's not bringing life on down through what the church is trying to do. Happens a lot today. No true production. Now, let's move on. I just want to get that in your thinking and use some real easy examples. The difference between how we use the word good and the way God does it, it's staggering. It's so different. We'll say, that taco was good. Or, did you see that TV show? That's a good movie. That's a good movie. Well, you know. Scripture, on the other hand, is significantly choosier when it comes to applying the label tov or something good. It's choosier about it. It's gonna do something different. Now, I want to read to you something about Solomon. This is 1 Kings 3:5. So pick it up as we go here. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon. This is when he's going to become king. Okay. He appeared to him in a dream and God said, what do you want? Now that's really good right there. Really good right there. Okay. So what do you want? Ask and I'll give it to you. Solomon replied, you showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. So David was good. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I'm like a little child that doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. Now get that. He wants to know the difference between right and wrong. We're gonna work on that in a minute. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or death to your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had ever had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And none has ever been compared since then. So Solomon could have said, you know, just give me some riches, make me comfortable and give me a pretty wife. But he didn't. He was doing really good in the beginning and he asked for wisdom. Now, verse 9 in the King James says it like this. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. Do you hear that? Discern between good and bad. Now we're jumping into what we want to talk about here. Discerning between good and bad. Okay? So that's what he wants. He wants to be able to tell the difference. So he wants to know. Then let's fill this in. What is he wanting? He wants to know what will produce life. He wants to know what will carry something on. He wants to know what will start momentum and move things forward. 'Cause that would be good. Bad would be, it's gone. It ended. Okay. So he's asking a good question. Now, so he asked for an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart. Or people say wisdom. But in the Hebrew, here's where we're going to get this. In the Hebrew, it says a hearing heart. a hearing heart. Give me, I'm asking for a hearing heart. In other words, I can pick up what God is saying in my spirit. Because if you can pick up what God is saying in your spirit, you can discern what's going to be good and what's not. What car is good, what car is not. What land is good, what land is not. What husband is good, what husband is not. What business is good, what business is not. What project is good, what project is... You can discern all these things. Which way, what path is good and what path is not good if you have a hearing heart. Praise the Lord. So I just submit to you that if you want understanding, if you want wisdom, it's found in a hearing heart. It's not you getting all smart. You can have master, PhD, WXYZ, whatever you want to have. This and that, and you think you're so good because you have all these letters after your name. But the best letter after your name is HOLY SPIRIT. Holy Spirit is the best thing, and Word of God. I congratulate you if you've gone and gotten all these things, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Knowledge is good. You can have it. But if it starts running your life above your hearing heart, you're in trouble. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can use those things to your advantage or maybe not. In other words, they could be good, but they may have no momentum at all if you get them lodged in the wrong place in your thinking. Amen. Okay. Now, so, if you're going to have a hearing heart, I'm going to say something to you that I said to you on Sunday. You're going to have to cut the noise out. You need to be still and know that I am God. Get somewhere where you're in a thin place. Get somewhere where you can hear. Get someplace where you're just, Lord, I praise you. I'm just get into some places. You're like, well, I'll do that when I need to make a decision. No. Now, some of you have to practice. Those of some of you are weightlifters. Well, you can't just do that on the day you want to feel strong. If you're going to stay strong, you got to stay doing it. If you learn to do some, guitar players are better if they practice. Anything you do, you're better if you're practicing. You got to practice hearing. You got to listen. Amen. This is good for us, church. I know frequency was a whole lot more exciting, but this is good for us. We need to know this stuff. Now, so people don't realize, I want to say this to you, and I walk through this very mindfully, and I'm not trying to pick on y'all, but people don't realize they get out of the zone. There's two examples that I'm going to give you, and one of them is my pet peeve, okay? So love me after I tell you, but now you'll know, and you'll know. So when you can't just do what you're asked to do, that's just kind of my pet peeve. Just do what you're asked to do. You don't have to add your own stuff to it. Just do what. Now I want you to go over to True Value and get some staples. Okay, and come back. Well, I got all this because I thought we needed it. Bonk. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't work. My pet peeve is when someone changes the title to my message. So any of you that work on the computer, hear me right now. It's a pet. Do not change the title of my sermon. Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God gave it to me, and I'm following Him. Well, I think it would be better if you did it like this. You need to shut to the up, because God gave it to me this way, and I'm going to do it this way. Amen. Well, I know, but I could color this thing up. I don't want you to color it up. I want you to use the scriptures I gave you the way I gave them to you. Put them up there. Do what I ask you to do and leave it alone. Yeah, right. Don't want a picture of your dog? Don't want it? Just do what, now I'm just doing, giving you this as an example. Most of you, there's just only what, how many people work on the computer? Five of y'all or something? Four. So now y'all have your big hints and you can, well, I think they all already know this, but probably. But that's just, I feel real picky about that, but it's on purpose, church, because I'm following someone. I'm following someone. So if I'm preaching and you start preaching with me and I say, thank you, Holy Ghost, you should get a message of what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Keep smiling. Yeah. It would be good. Now, the situation that we have, and I'm not saying this is true with all people, but a lot of people don't understand submission. And immediately when I say that, there's always someone who says, yeah, you just want us to submit to you. And you're the person who absolutely does not understand it. And you're proud and arrogant and rebellious. That's who you are. But submission is basically taking your authority and placing it with that other person's authority, doing what they were asking you to do, and then you're not responsible. Oh, you want it done like this? Okay. It's not on me. God said to do it this way. I'm doing it his way. But, no buts. No, this is the way we're going to do it. I could say to Shadrach, clean the floor with a red dish towel. Okay. I don't know if that'll get it done, but if that's the way she thinks God wants to get it done, just do it. You see what I'm saying? Whatever Pastor John said to do, we just did it. There was no question of, I have a better idea. Who had a better idea? Lucifer. Amen. So, you know, roll with that. Get that. Those of you that are bosses, you want your people to do what you want they need to do that you're telling them to do. They need to learn to submit to that. Now, what has happened in my life is the people that have done what I want them to do have built such a place with me that I turn around and ask them, what do you want to do? What do you think we should do? Amen. Because I trust them that they will do. And then they have built such a rapport with me that I'm like, I know they'll do what I want to do, but I'm going to listen to see because they may have a better idea. And certainly, the ones that have been on the staff in these last years have been that way. And so, praise God for that. Am I still talking about good? Yeah. I think this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that the guy that works for you, if he will do what you say, you and I had a conversation about this, about a guy who said, I got a better way. I got a better way. But if he would do it your way first, then you're going to be willing to listen to his way later. But if he would do it your way, then you know it would turn out what? Good. That it would produce, if you had the wisdom and you knew what you were doing, the life would turn out good for everybody involved. And you would perpetuate the seed. The title of the sermon emphasizes what God wants it to be. So we don't want to guess. It's put out there online and then a person can go, huh, I want to look at that one. Okay, so that perpetuates it. Okay, now, and the Holy Spirit can draw them. Now, here's the other example, and I'm just going to read it to you for time's sake. I heard a story of a man whose greatest dream was to be the best sea captain in the world. He lived by the ocean all of his life, and his dream was to grow up and run fishing boats and be the best at it. He spent his life working on boats, yearning to learn the business. He wanted to know all about the engine room and the ship, know how to identify the schools of fish. He wanted to know to be trained in the profession. He would work on boats, and he would get there early and clean and organize the boat before anyone got there. The sons of the owner of the boat would show up with their father at the last minute, and he would pour his life into them. He worked hard, but the sons got all the benefits. They would be the heirs of the business. This went on for years until he met a captain, the best captain around with the fleet of boats. The captain had no sons, but he adopted the boy. The captain fathered him and believed in him. He taught him everything and promised that if he would stick with him, he would make the boy the captain of the best boat. He even said he would draw up a contract to make the boy owner of the fleet in time. So the boy was faithful and loyal. He followed every instruction. Now, unconsciously, the boy's relationship with the captain was based on what the captain could do for him and not for the relationship. Are you hearing me? Did you just get that? So the one coming up was only thinking about how they could get a leg up. How could this guy help them move forward in life? Okay. No, not concerned about the relationship. Outwardly, it looked like he was subject to the captain's mission. But in reality, he was on his own mission. The captain wanted to raise up a son. He could leave a legacy. Important word. The boy's orphan heart, he had an orphan heart, was more interested in the fulfillment of his own dream. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You may never really know what's in you until your boss or your pastor or your father makes a decision that does not benefit you. Then our true heart is revealed. We don't know what we are until we are bumped and then our true selves spill over. One day the boy approached the captain believing it was time for him to take over. The captain's answer was not what he expected. "I'm sorry, but I can't turn it over to you yet. My wife has cancer and it's draining every dollar we have. I can't afford to turn it over to you right now. Stay with me through the crisis, and this will be yours." The boy took it as a personal rejection. He had that orphan attitude of what is right and fair. Then it went into how the captain doesn't care about him. All he wanted was to use me. He just wanted my service, so he strung me along. All of a sudden, the captain, who had fathered and poured his life into the boy, paid him twice the amount of money, loved him, wanted to make sure he was taken care of, all of a sudden is just a deceiver. The boy just felt like he had been denied from what was his. Church, the accuser of the brethren often comes to us as an angel of light in many crisis situations, in that moment of crisis. In this case, he came as another person. It was another captain. And so all of the wonderful things that had gotten poured into the boy would now go for someone else. As the story goes on, it took the boy 20 years before he realized what he had done. Orphans don't see the deeper things that are happening. The tov. They don't see the relationships. They don't see legacy. I submit to you, Keith Moore. Just saying his name should have moved you right there. Keith Moore served Brother Hagin and served him and served him and served him and was not willing to move away from him until God told him and told Brother Hagin too. If Brother Hagin said it was right, then it was time. God honored Keith Moore. Look at him today. What a ministry. What a life. I just think about that. I think about Pastor Nancy. Brother Hagin was their father in the Lord. They stuck with him. There was a legacy. And now she's passing it to her children. And I'm sure was Bear and Nanny Kay, Nanny Cakes, her grandchildren we'll come into that. There's a legacy. There's an inheritance. There's a flow. There's something deeper than just the pastor giving you a leg up into the ministry. I want that position. I'm going to get that position. It's mine. That's not a very good attitude. I will tell you something about Patty Garcia. She's in the back now. When she came up here, she and Hector said this to me. They said, "We're not coming to try to get a position. We're coming to see that the vision goes forward. We're going to back you up." And that's exactly what they've done. They didn't have anything in their back pocket about all this. They didn't have anything where they're just going to, you know, well, I'm going to be the pastor of that church one day. I'm going to do it. It's going to be me. And they weren't thinking that. Neither does Danny. Neither do y'all. That's Tov. That's integrity. Not going to try to get a place. What we want to do is build a lasting, loving relationship so that there is a legacy that goes forward. So that Bo has what we have. And his children have what we have. So that Paisley and her husband, if whoever they are, may be the pastor. I don't know. Maybe one of your kids. I don't know. But so that they understand and receive. And we've built something more than just a church business. And that's what is Tov. By the way, this guy gave up multi-millions. This is a true story. And I read it to you in the farm, but the person I actually read, he said, "Man, it took me forever to learn that I was just looking for a position. I was looking for a leg up. I was like, hey man, these people are going to help me." You know, I watch people over the years. I've gone to the ministers conference for years and years with Brother Copeland. And, in the beginning, when we started going, people were passing out their cards. I can come to your church. Mm-hmm. Would you like for me to come to your church? You know, and that wasn't the place for it. We were building legacy. We were listening. We were in partnership. We were building relationship. We were building something that couldn't be separated so that we would have each other's back. We were building covenant partnership. We walked through that for a few years and all that disappeared. Except for there's two people that still do it. And you can probably remember their faces. He still goes around and then there's another guy who does that. But, you know, I mean, God love them. We extend mercy. But that's not a business deal.
No, that's right.
Even your work is not just a business deal if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
You're planting something in other people.
Right.
Not just trying to make a buck. Not just trying to become assistant pastor. Not just trying to, well, you know, the parking lot prophet said that I'm going to preach in a stadium. Now, what are you going to do with that? Well, first of all, you could, if the parking lot prophet's right, which, first of all, I'd watch out for that and find out if your leaders think you're a preacher. Yeah, you know. Then I would say, what's the motive behind preaching in a stadium? Was it so that you could reach thousands of people? Then yes, it's good. But if it's to say, look what I did. I finally made it to the KCM stage. I was finally on television on KCM. So what? What's good? What is good? A good name is good. Being in covenant relationship is good. Being in covenant partnership is good. Caring for the right reasons is good. See, there's a problem with the human soul. If there's any rejection, if there's any, how do you say it? Self, you're intimidated, you're fearful, you're, what am I looking for the word? You don't feel good about yourself. Help me. Self-esteem. Thank you very much. So self-esteem, then you start thinking, if I could only get to the top, I would feel better about myself. It's a lie. You'll go to sleep just as miserable when you leave the stadium. But if I had a number one song, that number one song is useless if it's not good. If it produces something that helps people, it's good. And I'm all for number one songs. Are they good? I'm all for reaching the top. You're the cream. You're going to the top. But go for what's good. Have a successful business because of what it's going to generate, what it's going to produce. I've stayed way too long on this. We'll move on and be done with this. So here's this thing then. Can you discern what's good and what isn't? Man, this is good. I'm going to do this. Look at the venue I'm going to be. I'm going to be there with all these. Well, is it good? I heard Jeremy say something the other day. He said, everybody thinks God's so interested in the big church with all the numbers, and that means they're doing so good. He said, I'd rather have 300, 500 people who are really doing something, who are really growing, who really care about something, than 1,000 people who are just running around like nothing. I agree with him. Here's the Solomon story that brings out Tov. The purpose behind God giving Solomon a hearing heart is so that he can govern God's people and discern good and evil. So shortly after they have this exchange, there's these two prostitutes who show up with a baby. Remember the story? They're fighting over who the baby belongs to. One baby died, and so this one steals the baby, and then they're fighting over who the real mother is. Okay. Now, so they're claiming this is their son. So Solomon devises a test. Listen to me, because you may find out that you're going to do this in life with your employees, with the people around you. You're going to find now you're not going to cut a baby in half, but you're going to come up with a plan where you put people in this position. This is good. So he devises this test that will reveal which woman will choose Tov. Who's going to choose that life is going to go on? Are they going to be selfish? This is for me. I'm the one. Are they going to say, in order for this to work, I'll let it go? So who let the baby live? The mama, the real mama. The real mama said, oh, no, don't kill the baby. That's my baby, but I want the baby to live. So that wisdom, that way to find between good and bad, brought forth Tov. He discerned the good. Yeah. True mama came out. Right. He discerns the true mother. The woman cared more about life than her position, than anything. She cared about life. Than her body. She cared about life. She cared about life. She cared about life. She cared about life. She cared about it going on. She cared. She cared about this. She cared not to just pick up a wet rag and wipe something. She cared not to try to she wasn't going to be mad if the owner of the ship said she was going to have to wait a little while. Yeah. You can't do it yet. You're going to have to wait. We're not ready. Sorry, son, we're not ready yet. Where are you in that relationship? Tov is the fruit that one brings forth. I'll just tell you, church, I've seen some people around me choose the harder way. And yet it was the good way and it brought forth fruit. I've known some people even recently that actually gave up their dreams to fix situations. And I just say tov to that. I just say tov. It'll turn around for you. It'll turn around for you and you have sown the right seed. I've actually seen that. Well, we're going to fix this. Well, then I'm going to have to, this is what I'm going to have to do. Oh yeah, I could say that. We got about 10 minutes and I'm just about done. Deb and I have actually backed off on things financially so we could give more. I learned that from Keith Moore. Keith Moore actually would take less or live in a house less, or I don't remember what it was, so that he was able to give more. What's he doing? He's bringing life. He's prospering. He said, if this is going to work, we're going to have to back up a little bit. Oh, but we don't back up in God. Well, now, wait a minute. He wasn't backing up in the spirit. He's backing up in his own personal fleshly needs. So he could say yes to sowing more seed, which eventually got him everything he wanted. Church, do you understand that they got their brand new house, redid their brand new kitchen, got everything all fixed up perfect the way they wanted it, and a couple of days later, God said, now I need you to move to Branson. That's a test. But they sure did pass it. I don't want to grow up to be like Keith. I want to grow up to be that kind of person that wants, that just not, this is mine, it's me, I want to be this, I got to be this, I got to be, look at it. No, that can just say, you know what? Let's do what we need to do for the good of everybody. Yeah. Let's do what we need for what's good for you, what's good for your friend, what's good for your husband, what's good for your wife, what's good for your children. Instead of just, what about me, what about me, what about me? I don't like to do this, so we're not doing it. I don't want to do this, so we can't do it. Well, what about what other people want to do? Okay, I've got this much. Now, in Genesis 1, we see that creation is far-reaching and encompasses everything from the textured dirt into which we dig our toes to the core fibers of our very beings. That's what God did in creation. He speaks seeds of life into the earth. And in Genesis 2:7, we read about God breathing seeds of life into us as well. Now I'm going to read you the actual Hebrew in English. Okay. And forming is Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, the human of soil from the ground. And he is blowing into his nostrils the breath of the living, and becoming is the human a living soul. That's how you would read it in Hebrew, in English. Now, so God created you. There's a light in you. You know what Hector was reminding me of? I'll just say this right here as we're about to close. Hector reminded me that when the sperm hits the seed, there's a flash of light. Isn't that cool? There's a flash of light. Glory to God. Light be, baby. Now, so God created us like this. We got seeds. And not just seeds to reproduce children. But the seed of life is in us. And then we're fed this word that brings the seeds of life in us. And we can speak these words and they'll do things. He's given us all this, so now it's our turn. It's our turn to tov. It's our turn to make it good. It's our turn to produce the good. It's our turn to discern what is good. what would be good in this situation? And then it's our turn to produce good. Chris is good. It's our turn. It's our turn to bring forth the seeds of life within us. Seeds of encouraging. Seeds of teaching. Seeds of interceding. Seeds of healing. Seeds of designing and building. Seeds of creating and so on. Things that are needed. We've heard it said that people who don't find meaning and fulfillment in their lives aren't bringing forth what God planted inside of them and intended for them to bring forth. We've said that. But here's the situation. Just choose a hearing heart. Just choose a hearing heart and be, and hey, just get out of your soul long enough. I'm helping somebody. Get out of your soul long enough and get out of the zone long enough so that you can hear God. And he might say, you know what? I know you're headed that way. I know that was it. But hand that over. Hand that over. And boom, you're sent down the path you want to go. Or maybe this. Maybe you're vying for that place. Maybe, man, I want to be this. I'm going to be this. I know I need to be this. I know God promised me a place on that staff and da 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 or in that business or whatever. How about this? How about, you know what? I'm going to work for the good of that place. I'm going to sow seed into the good of that place. I'm going to say words that strengthen that place, whether it's a job or a church or a family or whatever it is, your own business. I'm going to do what is good. Yeah. So some of you guys, are because I hang around with you, I know you're all into multi-level marketing. Maybe use the discernment there. Maybe it's not good for everybody. Maybe you would have to say, I'm not inviting them because I don't feel the Lord leading me to do that. Oh no, we got to get everybody we can because it pushes me up the ladder. And so I'll go ahead and ruin someone's life. No? That's not the answer. The answer is to discern everything you're doing, even a business you start. Will that business help and bring life to other people? I don't think I want to go be a bartender. And I know people that are like, well, you know, they need someone to talk to. I'm not going to serve people enough drink to go out and have an accident. I'm not picking on people that drink. I'm just saying, it's not something that I would think would bring life. There are things people do that are, they're hard to do. But if they're perpetuating good, then it's a good thing. But we need to discern with everything, every client, every person. You have a lot of clients, but you have to decide who's really a client you can really help. You have to. You can't just say, well, I'm going to help them all because I'm going to get all the money. That's not Tov. I'm preaching really good. Y'all should love this because I'm telling you, this is how you'll prosper. This is how you're going to prosper. Do what you do good. Do what you do good and you'll move forward and you'll be able to discern. Have a hearing heart and go, you know what? Instead of just jumping and getting, and, well, I got to do this. Well, I'm going to do that. Well, you know, Pastor hurt my feelings, so Brother so-and-so said their church over there is better. Oh, really? So we're going to go over there. So, so-and-so, we had a party, and so-and-so paid for all of our party, and we all got together, and he talked us out of going to church over there because his feelings were hurt. And you know what? I think he's kind of right. You know how many times people have done that kind of stuff? And did it produce good?
No.
Never did. Your answer is having a hearing heart and making choices, discerning what's good. Now, I'm going to say one more thing to you, and we'll be right on the clock. Some of you right now are in a situation right now where you have to make decisions. You're going to have to discern what is good and what is not. Backing up is not always a good thing. Backing up, if you're going to if let's say you're going to quit drinking Starbucks every day or wherever y'all go get coffee, so that you could save the money so you could be giving, that's good. But let's say you hit a place and if you lose your job or your family member loses your job or something, don't go back to the old place. Move forward. God has the very next place for you to step out on. Instead of worrying and fretting, use your faith and step out on the next place. Sometimes the creek dries up. It dried up for Elijah. We had a business for 13 years, and all of a sudden it just quit producing. And our pastor at the time says, you know what, guys, I think the creek dried up. Maybe it's time for something else. And did you know that we stepped right over into, I became an assistant pastor at the church where you were going. And Deb got on the praise and worship team and ended up being the director of the daycare there and blah, 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 went on. But we stepped right up. We could have gone, well, I guess we'll just have to go back. And, you know, I guess we, no, you don't have to go backwards. You don't have to go backwards. You can go forward. Well, I'm out of money. I guess I'll have to go back to that old man who used to beat me. No. Come on, church. Pray. Help people. Move forward. Encourage people. I believe that everybody in here is going to find their fulfillment. And I believe you'll find your fulfillment in this, that you chose what is good, that you discerned what is good, that you perpetuated the legacy, you perpetuated the inheritance, you sent out, you put it in your children, you put it in your spiritual children, you moved forward on the things of God, you invested in the right things, so you discerned what was good for someone may not be good for someone else. You sell land, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
So every time you sell something, you got to decide right there, is this putting them in a bad spot?
Yep.
It can't just be, man, I want to make the money. You got to really think, is this their piece of property?
Yeah.
Because God will send you every person that belongs to every piece of property. God will send you every client. God will send you every employee. God will send you every person. God will send you every place to preach. God will send you the job. God will send you the husband. God will send you the wife. God will promote you. The promotion doesn't come from east and west. It comes from God. And He will promote us. And just because you didn't get a certain title doesn't mean you aren't promoted. You may be surprised at what God's got right around the corner for you. And if you'll just use some discernment. What is good? What's good for me to do? Well, it looks like I'm kind of broke right now and I don't really like that guy, but I think he's offered me some money. He'll give me a loan. Really? Really? No. No. Don't go back. Well, you know, he is kind of a loan shark and, you know, he'll try to manipulate me and no. Yeah, now you're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? There ain't anybody in here like that. There are other people watching. And I'm telling you, there are people who are tempted to do things just like that. How about this? Doesn't look like we're going to make it. Guess we'll go over to the bank, go ahead and get a loan. What difference is that than what I just said? How about trusting God?
Yeah.
Not saying getting a loan is bad. I'm not saying it's sin. I'm saying, though, what is good?
That's right.
Y'all mad at me?
No.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's our turn to do it. We're going to sow good seed. So God's got an invitation on the table right now, church. He's got an invitation. You're going to, in the summer of surprises, you're going to be faced with some counterfeits. And you're going to be faced with the real thing. Discern what is good. You're going to be faced when you get at home in your bathroom and you're combing your hair. Those of you that have some. And you're going to have to make the decision because something's going to say, I just don't think we're going to, and I don't. Or you're going to say, shut up, devil. I have a covenant with Almighty God. What are we going to do, Lord? I'm excited. What can we do? I'm excited. Let's do it. What are we going to do? What do you want me to pray about? There's your step. Start praying, start saying, start moving. God's got it. I can't believe it didn't go the way we wanted it to go. I thought this was going to be mine and blah, blah. Hey, maybe listen again. God will show you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I would just say to you with all this on the table with these good things, which by the way, we are having, I mean, people are getting all sorts of summer surprises and they're wonderful. But I would just say this to you like the Jewish people say, Mazel Tov. T-O-V. They say Tov. Mazel Tov. So they say, secular people say that means good luck. We don't use the word luck. I would say good to you. Good to you. Let's go Australian. Good on ya. Good on ya. Amen. Good on ya. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye bye.